Loving God, we thank you for your word that we've just heard. And we pray that it may share a truth with all of us. A truth that may be different for each of us, but yet your truth nonetheless. Help us not just to hear it and understand it, but have the will to follow it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It seems that the American industrialist Henry Ford was asked to donate money for the construction of a new medical facility. The billionaire pledged to donate $5,000. The next day in the newspaper, the headline read, Henry Ford contributes $50,000 to the local hospital. The irate Ford was on the phone immediately to complain to the fundraiser that he had been misunderstood. The fundraiser replied that they would print a retraction in the paper the following day. And so he read, Henry Ford reduces his donation by $45,000. Now, realizing the poor publicity that this would result, the industrialist agreed to the $50,000. And in return for the following, that above the entrance to the hospital was to be carved the biblical inscription, I came among you and you took me in. Oops. You know, the story humorously reminds us that why we need to be reminded from time to time what we do in the church or as a church. It's not so much about who we are, but more about who others are. Ford's gift became more about who he was when he got into the little battle with the fundraiser than who he was helping. And of course, the fundraiser made it that way by playing games with the newspaper articles. Today, in our passages from Corinthians and Mark, we're reminded that service is not about getting something for ourselves, but it's simply about doing something that another person needs to have done. Linda Pepe, in a blog entitled Theological Stew, writes about today's passage, and she says, somewhere in our culture, we have adopted to the notion that if we do what we are supposed to do, then we somehow get out of doing more work. And that's the aim. In fact, even our work is supposed to eventually take us to the point where we don't have to work anymore. After a lifetime of vocation, we're supposed to be able to rest. Retire, we call it. And somehow, that makes sense to all of us. We think often of success as when we are being served. Think about having servants in one's home. The more money you have, often you find that people and families have servants to take care of the cooking, to take care of the kids, to take care of the house cleaning, and so on and so forth. It's a sign of prestige, of having made it. On the other hand, we worship Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Service for Christ is not based on success, but it's based on a way of life. When we read the story of Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law, if we're honest with ourselves, we often get a little sense of outrage at the seemingly apparent gender inequality. She was an older woman, for all intents and purposes, who had, for all intents and purposes, been near death. She had a fever and so forth, so we kind of get the idea she's a very sick woman. And she's healed. And immediately, she gets up and starts cooking. And serves Jesus and his disciples. And in our day and age, we say, what's wrong with this picture? But But actually, you know, there's nothing wrong. Because the mother-in-law, in grateful thanksgiving for what God has done for her, desires to serve others and to serve Jesus, the one who had done this great thing for her. We often see service as a duty. And because of that, we tend to do it a little bit more grudgingly than maybe we should. We don't want to do it generally. We'd rather be served. But that's not what the gospel is about. Doug Lee, in his blog Ecclesia Project, writes concerning this. In a move, as I just mentioned, sure to raise red flags for us, Simon's mother-in-law gets up from the sickbed and starts serving him. How predictable. No sooner is the woman healed, but she's required to get up and start serving the menfolk. But stepping back a bit, we see that this is not at all what is going on. Women in Mark do far better than their male counterparts. The menfolk, with Simon as their standard bearer, are constantly blurting out the wrong things and misunderstanding Jesus to the point that they run away and are nowhere to be found at the climax of the story. But beginning with Simon's mother-in-law, women consistently do what is commendable in Mark. The service of Simon's mother-in-law reflects the kingdom. She mirrors Jesus, the one who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was tired when he went to that house. After a long day of preaching and sharing and healing, and here's the sick mother-in-law, and he raises her up. And then the word gets out, obviously, to the community what had happened with the mother-in-law. And people, the whole town comes bringing their demon-possessed and their sick people. And Jesus is healing them and caring for them. He does it because that's a major reason why he came. And then he moved on to the next town. When we serve others, we are mirroring the one who is our Lord. When we serve others, we become Christ to them. That's a nice thought. When we serve others, we become Christ to them. That can only happen, though, when we do it for them and not for us. Paul writes, "For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all so that I might win more of them." Well, we might not use the word "win more of them," and the word "slave" is politically incorrect in our time. We are touching them with the love of Christ. We are enabling them to feel that God has reached out to them. And therefore, they can reach out to others with the love of Christ. You see, when it's about us, when we serve in order to make ourselves look better, it goes out, but it comes back to us and stops here. It becomes a mutual admiration society. When it's about the other person, it moves on from that other person and touches others. The sense of service perpetuates itself. And that was the premise, and I loved it. That was the premise of the movie Pay It Forward that came out in the year 2000. If we remember, it started a movement of service to others. And the idea was that instead of turning to the person who served you and giving thanks to them for what they did, they said, no, don't thank me. Pay it forward. Serve somebody else. Service perpetuated more service. And so on, when it is done in the right spirit. And by right spirit, I mean when it is done for the other person, for the good, the blessing of the other person, and not for us. Service to others is not and cannot be about us, but it must be about the other. Which Ford did not quite grasp in that opening story. And that's the way of those who follow Jesus. Serve the other for the other's sake. That's the only way it can be. Amen.